Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word engages us in the epistle reading from Galatians. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoption as sons. I wonder if any of you made New Year's resolutions last night. Did you? It's not to be confused, of course, with our Lent sacrifices. During Lent, Christians customarily give up something that we really like, so that each time we miss it, or go to do it, or go to eat it, if it's something we gave up, we think about the solemn nature of Lent, the suffering of Jesus Christ, and a prompt to offer prayer. New Year's, though, is a different kind of resolution. It's time to start something that we really should do, or stop something we really should stop in our life, to improve ourselves and in our love and service to one another, to help us be better disciples, to be better husbands and wives and fathers and brothers and all those sorts of things. Perhaps you're going to stick to the diet this year and not fall off. Perhaps you will exercise every single day. Perhaps you will spend less time on the computer and more time with the family. It's a good time to make a resolution about debt reduction, or faithfully read scripture every single day, have devotions together as a family, spend more time in prayer, or more volunteer work for the Lord's church or one of the charities. I know what you're thinking. You know, Pastor, we made all these promises last year. In fact, we made some of the very same promises last year. You know, we might be pledging to continue on with what we started last year. More than likely, the pledges we made last year fell away. Probably before Epiphany. Somewhere during 2016, we stopped doing our pledges. We forgot about them. We decided we didn't have time for them, or maybe it was silly for us to even make that pledge. But we like to see the start of a new year, the first day of that year, New Year's Day. It's rather rare that a church service falls on New Year's Day. We don't traditionally have one in this congregation on New Year's Day. But we see New Year's Day is, well, the first start of a new year, the fresh start, the do-over. In a way, we're allowed to hit the reset button on all last year's resolutions and all last year's promises we made to ourselves, and start fresh and start new, start over. I kind of like that thought, don't you? That there could be a reset button on life. If we get too weighed down, too overwhelmed, too far off course, hit the reset button. Start all over again. If things get too much for us, we can make a fresh start. But life doesn't really work like that, does it? Now, we keep going, but we have to deal with all of those things that succeeded, but also all of those things that failed. Sometimes we can try running away from our problems, but we find that they eventually find us, and if they don't find us, we create new problems to take their place. The main problem with us is ourselves. We are at the heart of most of our problems. Now, it is true that we sometimes suffer because of the sin and the hatefulness and the hurt that comes from other people. But the truth is, most of our hurt comes from ourselves and our own sin. The Bible teaches that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered humankind. It is shared by all human beings as part of being a descendant of Adam and Eve. It's kind of a family legacy that gets passed on. Adam and Eve turned away from God, their heavenly Father, the one who created them out of dust, but also out of his love. He created them to be his children, the object of all of his affection. And then he gave to them his whole creation with only one rule, with only one law: don't eat from a certain tree. By not eating the fruit from that tree, the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve would show their love for God, their worship of God, and their willingness to live under God's authority and rule. Not a bad place to be, considering that all that God had already done for them. But they didn't stay there. The devil tempted them. He told them that they could hit the reset button on creation. They could make a new start all of their own, and to do so without including God in it. If they ate the forbidden fruit, he tempted, they could be God. They would have no one under whom they would have to live or listen to. They could make a new start of creation with themselves as the supreme being, and now this other God as redundant, pushed out. Now, the devil always promises what he can't deliver. He always promises exactly what won't happen. And when they ate the forbidden fruit, they came to see in each other shame. Shame of having thrown God's love back into God's face. They came to see their own selfishness. They saw that they had brought death to themselves and to all mankind. They realized that it wasn't a reset. But as God promised, death was coming, and it was an end. But God didn't destroy them, because his love for them hadn't changed. Yes, he wasn't very happy with them. He was angry with them for their disobedience. But he also loved them. This sin, which we refer to a lot of times as original sin, is passed on. This death, this selfishness, all the cruelty, the hate, and the pain and evil that it produces is passed on to all people. It's passed on to you, to me. You can say, that's what's wrong with people. That's what's wrong with you and me. Now, that should have spelled doom. It should have been the fate of humankind. That should have been our destiny, a death away from God, death eternally, set apart from God and all of his love. No reset button for getting out of it. Nothing that we could hit or do. No fresh start that we could bring about for ourselves. But God did send a fresh start. He sent Jesus. Jesus, who brought about the do-over and the reset for our lives. Now, in order to do this, Jesus had to fulfill what we had to destroy. First, it says in Galatians that he was born of a woman, meaning that he was born human. Of course, he was still God, but he came into our world without the stain of sin that we carry. He did so to live the way that God had intended for us to live, in fellowship with him as his children, always seeking to be obedient to him, always seeking to do his will, always seeking to worship him and to bring praise and glory to His holy name. Jesus came to do that, and to do that for us as man and as God. He also paid the price, the fate that sin brought upon us, the destiny we should have coming for our sin. He redeemed us, it said, redeemed those under the law. And the price He had to pay was His own suffering. His own suffering for all of our guilt and all of God's judgment executed against Him, completely and entirely. He died in our place. God's holiness and God's judgment is therefore kept. It is fulfilled. It is reversed what that sin in Eden was. It is reversed, a fresh start, a new start, now for humankind because of Jesus. And Jesus rose from the dead. And the gift that He came to bring was given. God forgave us all our sin, completely and entirely. We started fresh and new in the sight of God. What we do that again in our baptism, as the gift of Christ is given to us, most of us as infants, with the water and the word. We make a new start again as we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sacrament of Holy Communion with the forgiveness of our sin. You've heard that new start once again when your sins were forgiven in the absolution in His name. It says that in the scripture that God not only forgives our sins, but He remembers them no more. He puts them away from Him. This, Christ, is our new fresh life before and with God. It's the one that we hear renewed every Sunday. We hear renewed every day in our personal devotions. We taste in the Lord's Supper. Our response to that gift, our response to God's love, is to love Him. We show our love, our thanksgiving, and our praise of God through how we live, especially through how we treat other people. There's a direct connection there. To love the Lord our God means to love other people too. We are to forgive them as we have been forgiven. We are to have mercy and compassion on them as we have received mercy and compassion from God. How we treat others. All of this is involved in how we serve other people, ones whom we know and with whom we are intimate, our friends, our families, but also people who are strangers, who are unknown to us. We share God's love with them in our actions and in our words, especially telling them of God's love for them, the love we have received, the love we give, the love that is theirs in Christ. God has reset humanity from its fate. God has given you and me a fresh start through the cross of His Son, His death, and His resurrection. Perhaps a good resolution for this first day of 2017 is to be a people who give mercy, who give love, who give compassion, a people who give second chances, a people who give start-overs, just as we receive. Christ. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life which is everlasting.